What's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 121 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael. If this is your first time listening, because we're noticing, man, thank you guys so much for the support. A lot of new listeners. So if this is your first time, my name is Michael. I am the host of the Dental Marketer Podcast. Also, go on the dentalmarketer.org. Click around there. Look at the website. You'll see a bunch of stuff, a lot of things about ground marketing too as well, guys. If you're not familiar with ground marketing, like I said, go check it out. But mainly you're here to listen to this episode. And before we get into it, let me really quick pull this up. This episode is brought to you by, see, I need to have this stuff like on hand because now I'm looking for the script. Guys, I know that was like a bad transition into the ad, but here we go. It's 2018 and your patients depend on the internet, right? If you need a ride, they book an Uber. If you're planning a trip, they book a flight online. Personally, I use, I like this app called Skyscanner, or I'll use a website called CheapoAir. But anyways, you going offline here. So they book a flight, right, online if you're planning a trip. If you're out of toilet paper, you go to Amazon, right? And that's probably like the worst case scenario, out of toilet paper. Like, what do you do in that situation? Has it happened to you guys? Anyways, so when they have tooth pain, so when someone has tooth pain, they absolutely 100% don't really want to call your office to schedule an appointment, right? Especially if it's tooth pain. They don't really also want to fill out an online request form that no one from the practice ever responds to. But there is one software that fixes that. It's called LocalMed. LocalMed fixes that with real-time online scheduling that actually works. With it, patients can book appointments directly into your schedule according to your own scheduling rules. That means no double booking and no follow-ups necessary. And because it integrates with your practice management system, the appointments schedule at the right time in the right chair for the right provider 24/7. So if you guys have Open Dental or Dentrix or Practice Works, whatever, it integrates with it, right? And I know sometimes we're kind of iffy, like, oh no, online scheduling just messes up the schedule. Not with LocalMed, guys. It's not magic, but it's never been done before. Only LocalMed can do this. With an average ROI of 33-1 and over 5,000 providers already on board, there's really no reason not to try LocalMed today. Plus, when you mention this podcast, the Dental Marketer Podcast, or you mention, hey, Michael told me about this, right? You'll receive a special discount. So visit localmed.com/dentists, that's plural, dentists, with an S at the end, to learn more today. Anyways, guys, I'll put the link of LocalMed in the show notes below. But let's get into this episode. So I have the wonderful privilege of interviewing a marketing specialist, guys. And let me pull it up really quick. Her name is Bess Sincotta, right? And she works for Golden Proportions Marketing. And that's a company that's solely dedicated to dentists, right? Helping dentists market. A very interesting article. Mainly what we dive into is about reviews, right? She's extremely knowledgeable in reviews. What do we do when we get a bad one? What exactly do we say when we get a bad review? What do we do when we get a good one? Where should the reviews go, right? Google, Yelp. Oh, what about Yelp? What is her opinion on Yelp? Is it really like a review mafia where they're like, hey, pay us or else we're going to hide all your good reviews and only show the bad ones, right? We also talk about Facebook's new policy on reviews and what's going on there. And we also dive into websites. I like how we talk about how your About Us page should be built. So listen to that because, I mean, I know I made the mistake of making the About Us page how it should not be built. And yeah, you do see a big, huge, humongous difference when you create it the right way. And we also dive into a lot more things. What does she like about dentistry? What does she not like about dentistry? And so forth, right? I like asking people who aren't delved into the clinical side of dentistry these type of questions. Like, what do they want to see from dentistry? Because it's kind of like, if you kind of think about it, it's kind of like a new potential patient, right? Kind of getting in their mind. So, anyways, and she's also given us amazing links. So go to the show notes below. You're going to see Facebook's new review policy blog. You're also going to be able to download how to respond to a bad review. And you're also going to be able to download a guide on how to ask for reviews. And also, she's giving us a guide on creative dental marketing ideas. So guys, go ahead and in the show notes below, download that stuff when you finish the episode. And yeah, without further delay, here is Bess.
I started in marketing back in the early 2000s. The internet was huge, and I got very involved in digital marketing. Mm-hmm. I was lucky to work with a few entrepreneurial organizations, which got my hands really dirty and made me appreciate the value a dollar has to a startup practice. And mm-hmm. when I transitioned to dentistry, I felt like all of my experience in the entrepreneurial world really did benefit me for seeing how they look at things and how I can help them to strategically spend their money in the best places that will work for them in their practice. Something that I'm really excited about, and probably a lot of people are aware of, is how targeted we can be getting with digital marketing these days. We can very intelligently pick out who we want to target with a message to make sure that we're really spending the money in the right place. Mm-hmm. So I joined GPM about 4 years ago now, and we have been doing everything from direct mail to traditional print ads and television. But on the digital side of things, the amount that we can track our campaigns and keep an eye on the prize for our dentists has been very exciting for us.
And GPM stands for?
GPM stands for Golden Proportions Marketing. We're a dental-specific agency that has been around for over 17 years now. We work with clients all over the U.S. and Canada, even some abroad, that are looking for more of a comprehensive partner. While we don't do everything in-house, we certainly have a lot of resources that we tap when we see, you know, this client is looking for support with social media, so we have something that we can connect them to for that. And when we do offer everything in-house, we can do anything from their website, their branding, whether they're starting from scratch or they're at a jog and they want to get to a sprint, they can certainly partner with us to figure out what are the best strategies to get them there.
Okay, cool. And so you talked about your entrepreneurial past. What other things did you do in your past before jumping onto the dentist, like startups?
Oh my goodness. I have done a lot of things. I have been in the beauty industry. I helped to market beauty supplies to barbers and beauticians. I have helped market barcode scanning devices that got integrated into medical equipment. I mean, it's really a wide spectrum. I think that helps me to sort of put myself in the position of the consumer or the buyer and really think about what it is that their mindset is and develop strategies that surround that. So, well, it hasn't been dentistry for all of my 12 plus years in mm-hmm. marketing. All of the variety of the background that I've had has certainly benefited me in kind of coming in with a different perspective for my clients.
Yeah, definitely. How long have you been in dentistry?
I've been in dentistry for 4 years now. So I certainly have had a lot of medical background before that, but dentistry specifically for 4 years.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about business. What's your area of expertise? Like, what is your title, I guess, at GPM?
I am an account executive here, so my goal is to work with dental clients who are trying to understand the lay of the land before they leap into a marketing investment. Ultimately, we will do an analysis of their market, their competition and talk about the goals of the practice. And my job is to identify strategies that I feel are going to be the strongest when it comes to getting them to those results. And that can be any number of things. So I did mention digital is something that I'm pretty passionate about. It's usually the best place to start for a practice. If you don't have a good website, you're really shooting yourself in the foot with any other marketing you might be wanting to tackle. It's the first place somebody is going to land to really evaluate, are you the right fit for them? So that is the foundation from which the rest of the marketing can really build from. And I help clients to, no matter whether or not they are right at the beginning of their careers and ready to start their own practice, or if they're later in life and ready to transition to a new doctor, we can help them to manage each of those stages of a practice and have the marketing match that messaging.
So say, for example, so you do an analysis at the beginning, right? And then, like, let's just put it, I'm a dentist who I feel, because I feel like, do you get it a lot where, to me at least, I don't know, if you were to ask a dentist, like, how saturated is dentistry in your community? Almost, like, I want to say, this is just a number I'm just throwing out. I don't even know if this is true, but like 90% might say, like, yeah, it's pretty saturated, right? How would you, from that point on, what do you do next? Like, how do you continue to construct your marketing plan?
So when we talk about their practice and the competition in the area, we do ask them, who do they consider to be their competition, and try and get a feel for how that practice is representing themselves. But it's more important to me to also look at who is performing well for search and who is aggressively marketing in that area. If you were to run a search for a dentist in their location, who are you going to see and who are they really up against? So some practices have a really good idea of who it is that they're running in the same circle as, and others may be surprised to see some new entrants to the market or new advertisers who are really aggressively going after the same patient base they are. So it's important to kind of hear them out, to hear who they are seeing in the market. They'll know their own area more than I could. But through the research that I do to see who's getting great positioning and who is spending the marketing dollars, they're able to see, you know, who are we really up against when somebody is running that search for dentist near me or dentist in their town.
So what if it's like, okay, I tell you, everybody's, or every general dentist or every cosmetic dentist is my competition. I really don't know who would be like exactly aligned with my unique selling point, right? Because then it wouldn't really be a unique selling point. Somebody else would have it. What would be the, I guess, because I understand how when it comes to SEO and things like that, it is important to kind of look at the competition to see what they're ranking for, right? Because that's the keywords. I mean, that's what they're typing in. But sometimes we, like, say, for example, you know how you've heard of that advice, like, hey, just focus on your own race. Don't look at anybody else. How do those two tie in together eventually?
So, you know, I've had practices who've been wildly successful for dozens of years who have realized that the numbers have kind of slowed down along the way. And ultimately, the game that they've been playing up until this point doesn't deliver the same number of new patients that it used to. Of course, it's important to be your own type of dentist and to reflect that through your marketing pieces, no matter what the competition is doing. But we need to be aware of how the competition represents themselves so that our messaging makes sense. And as an example, like, if you have been a fee-for-service practice for your 30-plus years, then it may be difficult to realize that the messaging out there up against you is somebody who is accepting every insurance, Or perhaps they have a 1999 new patient special or something very aggressive. That means that you have to really spend some time building the brand, because it has to matter to the patient, to the potential patient. And you need to know what you're up against to know what kind of how aggressive do you have to go at that. So it's never I don't have a one size fits all solution for any of my clients, but I need to know, you know, what am I up against in that market so that I can understand if the budget we're using and if the strategies we're selecting are going to help them achieve those results. So I'll give you an example. If somebody is in a very competitive market and I see like six different advertisers showing up in a Google search, and I run an AdWords quote and I can see that the cost per click in the market is like $15 for a general dentistry search, that is a challenging place for somebody like a fee-for-service practice to find themselves being successful. What I'd prefer to see them do then with their marketing budget is build upon the value that they have with the quality of the care that they're providing. And for them, that might mean investing in some high-quality video, which they can put on their website and make sure that their patients see. So when somebody's choosing A over B, the $19.99 special or a fee-for-service practice they know they're going to have to pay a little bit more money for, I want to make sure their brand represents them in a way that makes somebody go, you know what, yeah, that is where I want to go. I don't want to go to the cheapest one on the block. I want to go to this guy. I've seen his testimonials. His patients love him. This one's a fit for me. So it's about understanding, you know, don't go to the same strategy that every one of your competitors is going for if you're not that type of a dentist, but understand that that's something that you're up against in your market. And so how loud you have to be may be impacted by who's in your market and what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. I really like that. How loud you have to be, especially. That's like where it comes. I guess that's how important it is when it comes to building your brand, right? Because like you can either think, okay, I'm going to just discount it. Brand's not really that important, but like, man, you're going to have to keep discounting for a while, right? Or maybe forever. Who knows? You're going to be your competition. But if you can talk about your brand loudly and it's unique, you know? So, yeah, it is It is important that you do really, like, as a dentist, like, take time to... Because it has to be more than just, like, I want to do good dentistry. It has to be deeper, and you have to talk about it more. That's good. I like that. So what can a dentist do today to improve their marketing or business?
Well, I think your website is the biggest representation of you and your practice. It's a walking billboard for who you represent yourself as a brand. And a lot of practices don't necessarily realize that the investment they put into their website is going to pay off for every piece of marketing that they decide to invest in. Because think about it. If you get a direct mail piece, are you going to call the number on the direct mail piece, or are you going to go ahead and go to the web? Mm-hmm. At least in my pattern as a consumer would be to do a little bit of digging. If a piece interests me, or if I was referred by a friend, ultimately, that place that I'm going to go is the website to see, is this a fit for me? Mm-hmm. And one of those things that's going to matter in that whole evaluation process is your reviews and your reputation. Mm-hmm. So I would say number one is the website. That's something that every practice should be very proud of their site and how it represents them. Make sure that it has a really solid About Us section. That's the number two page that people visit after the home page, is to learn about you and see if you look like a nice person that they want to come see. And then aside from just your site, what motivated them to click to choose you? If they were just running a search for a dentist in general, how does your reputation match up with who you are and the practice that you're, the service that you're providing your patients? So it's hard to ask for reviews. It absolutely is. And I wish that the review software that, you know, a lot of practices have been on board with for a long time, like RateABiz or the DemandForce. What's the DemandForce? There's a number of different automated review request softwares out there that were built with the best intentions, but ultimately, now that Google has gotten in the game and Yelp and Facebook, they are all offering reviews for patients to evaluate, is this the right fit for me? Whether they know nothing about you at all or they've been referred by a friend, they're going to be faced by with your reviews when they run a search for you, and you want to make sure that's representing you well.
Yeah, you're right. So when it comes to, if we can rewind a little bit, when it comes to the About Us page, I've heard kind of like two things. I've heard it should be an About Us page where it really talks about you, your team, your passion. And then I heard the About Us page should talk about them, like the actual customer, and kind of like why they came to your website. What? How should the About Us page look like?
Well, I like it to show that the doctors and the team are real people. Aside from your accreditations, your CE, the things that you've worked really hard for, what the person who's coming to your site wants to know is, does he have a dog, though? Is he a cat person? They want to see if there's something relatable about you that they can hone in on. And that is more than just your background. So unfortunately, choosing somebody based on the credentials is very rarely a high priority for our typical patient. They want to know that you look like somebody they can trust. And your bio, while it can contain all of those things, we recommend that it has some element of your real life, because people like that authenticity. They like to know that, you know, you have kids too. You maybe some days it's harder to get out of bed than others. You have big trips and in-laws and all the things that everybody deals with in their day-to-day life. If they can see that in you, then they know that you have like characteristics, and they can feel like they know you even before they pick up the phone. So as far as like philosophy and all of that, I do think the language of a website is all about the visitor. It is all about what they need and why they're landing here. But when it comes to them drilling in and actually wanting to know more about the doctor, at that point, the more authentic you can be, the better.
Got you. And then when you said, for example, figuring out why they went to your website, how can someone, like, say, for example, why they clicked, how can someone, is there like a tool or something that someone can figure out why they clicked the website, or that's not yet, unless they call?
So I mean, in terms of if I ran a search for a dentist in your town and the results come up, and when you're looking at the results, the first thing that you see, there's some ads, but then the map listing appears. And in the map listing, you're going to see a number of different options. Those options, each of them, you're going to see a star rating and then a little number next to it that tells you how many people have reviewed that practice to receive that rating. And that matters. That matters to see the number of reviews, but also the star rating that they have received. Something I do is I drill into the next page. I mean, I may not necessarily just choose one of the top three, but when you are picking and choosing between providers, you have this opportunity at your fingertips to read through the reviews that patients have left for the practice. And I want to make sure that practices represent themselves well in those social pages, but also that they're collecting reviews from the happy patients, because those, well, it's hard to ask for the review. I think that because there is that occasional upset patient who maybe just had a bad day before they came into your practice, you need to ask for those positive reviews so that the person who had the bad day is just one out of 100. The average star rating of practices we work with is about a 4.8. And if you have 100 reviews, just think about it this way. If I have 100 reviews and one ticked off person decides to write me a negative review, my star rating is probably not going to move if it's a 5-star rating. But if it was, if I only have 5 reviews and one person who's ticked off leaves a review, then that is going to have a much more dramatic impact on what your rating is. So it's how you're represented before somebody can even click to your site that may have an impact on whether or not you're the practice they choose over another. Like filling out your Google business listing, making sure it's enhanced with photos, and keeping your team asking the patients to leave those reviews, whether it's with a software platform or just organically getting them to go to those pages and leave them.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think if we use both, that'd be pretty good, right? I would assume, like, if you were software.
The software definitely helps.
Yeah, the software, just in case somebody misses it, and then you can ask too, right? Like, as the person, I would.
Yeah, I mean, the doctors aren't off the hook either. Asking for reviews is something that anyone on the team can do, and when the doctor asks, there's a much higher likelihood that the patient will actually leave the review. This is something that I coach teams on, just recognizing if somebody's saying something nice about you, then take advantage of it. Say, you know, that I appreciate you saying that, Sally. That's so wonderful to hear. You know, I would really love it if you could leave your thoughts in an online review. After you leave here today, our software is going to send you a quick request to leave that review. Let us know if you have any trouble with it, but I would love it if you could share your thoughts online. And you can even share, you know, why it is that you have to ask for reviews. You know, reviews are so important these days. SEO, search engine optimization, is something that we really work to achieve great results on. And unfortunately, as a business owner, I have to ask for reviews. So while it feels awkward for me, if you enjoyed your experience today, if you feel like others would like to see a dentist like me, I would love it if you could share your thoughts online. So you can be honest. You can absolutely be honest, but those reviews are becoming so important to, you know, even how you rank and whether or not you achieve that top spot.
How should someone respond to a negative review?
Great question. We actually have a really great tool available for clients on this, and I'd be happy to share it with you. But one of the things that you have to do is to take a deep breath, because if they're 1 in 100, then it's really not going to have that big of an impact on you. But the first thing I'd recommend for my practices to do is to see if you can identify who that patient was, and is there any way that we can rectify the situation? If there is, I mean, maybe something did go wrong. Maybe there is something that you can address, in which case, reach out to that patient and see what you can do to fix it. In many cases, they'll go ahead and amend the review. If you have trouble getting them to connect with you in that way, or if you don't think that this is a situation that you can resolve, I recommend some kind of generic response, but you do have to respond. You have to say, we're so sorry you had this experience. We would love to work this out with you. Please contact our office so that we can discuss further. Like, show that you're the bigger person. Show that you're taking the higher road. Because unfortunately, while patients can say whatever they want in a review, you are bound by HIPAA. So if you said something that was violating their privacy, mm-hmm. that is something that you could be held accountable for. So if you can keep it vague, if you can look like you are in the position to try and help them, ultimately that's going to paint you in the best light. And if somebody does happen to read that one-star review and see that you cared and reached out, that may knock that one-star review out in their mind.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's really interesting to know. And then what, in your opinion, what should every business owner know
about marketing?
Yeah. Or just in general, like as a business owner or in dental practice, right? What should everybody know when it comes to marketing?
I think that every business owner should have somebody who's in their corner that is willing to educate them on what their recommendations are, whether it's to their benefit because they're going to have a client out of it, or because they're recommending that somebody can do something on their own. And by that I mean there are a lot of companies out there that are secretive about the magic that they do for SEO, mm-hmm. or trying to make sure that you think that they are providing high value when they're not willing to necessarily hop on a call and outline for you what's being done. And I've unfortunately seen a lot of clients who historically have been taken advantage of because there's companies out there that just send out bills that say your website domain is going to expire or something to that effect, where somebody thinks that, oh my gosh, if I don't pay this, something's going to happen to my website. mm-hmm. So I would recommend that you have somebody in your corner who can help you navigate through those types of things. Don't let yourself get taken advantage of. So look for a partner in your marketing firm or in your consultant who can help you identify which of these things are real opportunities and which of them may be someone taking advantage of the fact that they know that managing the business might be your second favorite thing to do next to dentistry.
Okay. Okay. And so talking about reviews, if we go back a little bit.
Sure.
To you, what is the best? For example, I'm a dentist, and then I'm like, hey, guys, leave a review. And then the patient's like, okay, where do you want me to leave a review on? Then mm-hmm. what?
So ideally, we like for them to leave a review in one of the top three review sites. Google's the first, Facebook's the second, Yelp is the third. I like to get a feel from the patient as to whether or not they are actively involved in any of those platforms. Mentioning them to the patient can help guide you and how you provide them direction. So like, hey, you know, are you active on Facebook or do you use Yelp? You know, any of those tools? And then in some cases, you may be able to help them right there in the practice if they have a smartphone to go ahead and leave the review. We use a software platform called Rave Reviews that it literally lands them in the spot that they need to leave the review. And that's not uncommon with review software for them to be able to choose their star rating and then choose which platform they have an account with. And hopefully, if they are connected to those websites, they're able to very easily leave the review because they're already signed in on their devices. So it can be a struggle for the less than tech savvy patient to find their way to these platforms, but know your audience, know who you're talking to, and if you can help them to get there through a software platform, that can make the process even easier.
Gotcha.
If they walk out of the practice and they don't have this in their hand, it's just a much less lower likelihood that they're going to be able to successfully leave the review.
Mm-hmm,
I'll
mm-hmm.
take a good review anywhere, but if it can be on Google, Facebook, or Yelp, it's going to have that much more value.
Yeah, you're right. I like the fact that it's, you know, Google's number one, especially, or like you mentioned, Google's number one, because sometimes we think, and I remember when I used to work for a dental office, I remember I would get reviews on Yelp, but then they wouldn't show up. And it would be like on the non-recommended, you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't be recommended to look.
Yeah, you're not alone.
And I would wonder, I'm like, what do I do? And at some point I want to get Yelp, somebody from Yelp on this podcast. But at the same time, like at some point I would start paying them, right? Like, hey, let me put an ad on Yelp. And it would show. And so I started thinking, is this kind of manipulating it, or what is the deal? I don't know what the deal was.
So I only have a handful of clients who we will use Yelp with for advertising purposes. And I do work with someone at Yelp, and I have definitely expressed the same exact concerns that you're sharing with me right now. They'll have a number of very positive reviews that are buried in the non-recommended section. And if you look at what Yelp says, I mean, they would say that they do not reward people for becoming advertisers in the platform, but it's a very commonly held thought that they may be doing that. Mm-hmm. The non-recommend reviews, they may come to life at some point. From what I understand, if somebody, for example, leaves one review and it happens to be your practice on Yelp and they haven't left any other reviews, then Yelp is kind of quarantining that review until they have some further proof that this is a real person who has, you know, opinions about various businesses in the local area. So if they should go ahead and leave a review for Dolly's Diner down the street from you, then that non-recommended review may appear in the listings all of a sudden. So Yelp is definitely the most persnickety of all of the review platforms. They have a cloak in front of how it is that they decide which reviews are recommended and which aren't. They actually will penalize you if you are using one of the review softwares to send people to their site. So you have to just hope that your patients can get there organically and leave the results for you. But they have the most negative opinion of dentists of all of the different review sites. So the average star rating, it's just slightly lower than the overall rating, but it's funny to me that Yelp is a 4.7 and Google's a 4.8 and Facebook meets them somewhere in the middle. So it's kind of like they would tell you that they do not reward people for becoming advertisers. It's hard for me to tell my practices that when they are seeing their reviews get hidden. Yeah. And on the positive side, if you do have reviews that are not recommended, I encourage you to kind of drill into that non-recommended section, because you're going to see they aren't just quarantining the 5-star reviews. They do quarantine 1-star reviews too. Mm-hmm. And so to that effect, I mean, they're protecting your reputation by trying to make sure that the people who are leaving reviews for you are legitimate patients who are in your area.
What would you recommend if someone who, like, you don't even know leaves negative reviews? Like, because I see that sometimes where they're like, guys, has this ever happened to you? Getting like, I just got 12 1-star reviews today. What's happening, right? And it's happened. Oh. So it's kind of like, who do we contact in that scenario? Do we just contact like say it happens on Google? How does that work out?
Yeah. So if they are against Google's policies, if it's not really a patient, if it is absolutely like maybe an ex-employee or a competitor or something that we can clearly identify as being against Google's policies and practices, you can report that review and hopefully they will remove it. Now, Google is a big beast, and so their responsiveness to make those changes may not be as quick as we'd like. We'd like it removed immediately because, of course, they're not talking about me.
Yeah.
But if you know for sure that it's not a patient, I have seen practices navigate that by responding to the review and saying, you know, usually the review is accompanied by the name of the patient or some variation of a name that Google is no longer allowing anonymous reviews. So if you have a patient name and you can't attribute it to your records, then just simply respond by saying, I'm sorry, Joe Smith, I don't have a patient. We do not have a patient of record by your name. Perhaps you are thinking of a different practice. If there's anything we can do to help you with your dental needs, please feel free to contact us. So, I mean, I hope you don't get 12 in a day, but if you do see that you have a review of that type where they said something negative and for sure you can't track down who it is, then simply say, I'm not finding a patient of your name on our records. Perhaps you're thinking of a different dental office, and offer your assistance. I think in that way you can kind of deflect the anger and let somebody who may be perusing the one-star reviews know that this is not legit.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And then let's dive a little bit into Facebook. What updates has been going on with Facebook as far as reviews?
So if you've been on any of your any business's web Facebook page recently, you may have noticed, and the first time I noticed this is for a photographer that I use that I had written a glowing review for. Instead of having a section where you would read the reviews, you would have to read the recommendations. So Facebook has decided to get rid of the five-star system altogether in favor of a would you recommend this business, yes or no solution. So there's a lot of opinions over how this is all going to play out. The good news is that the reviews you do have aren't going to go anywhere. They're still going to be there. But now Facebook is hoping that by making it more of a black and white yes and no, that they're going to be encouraging people to share more content through the recommendation. So like tagging a photo of your experience or writing a paragraph about how great Susie, your hygienist, was. That is their hope, that instead of just hitting five stars and leaving or four stars or whatever, they're hoping that through recommendations, you are going to see better content for their users.
Yeah. And I think as a consumer or someone looking, I would appreciate that a little bit more, like actual reading something, right? Instead of like, oh, it's five stars, somebody hit a button. Like, for example, I just say that because like when we have podcast reviews, right, on iTunes, and when people leave, like, I'm like, oh, man, what did they say? And I don't see anything. And I'm like, oh, they just hit the five stars. And okay. I mean, which I still like. I appreciate it, guys. But, I mean, you know what I mean? You still you still get that, like, what are they going to say? And then you see what they say.
Yeah.
So I understand. I can see where Facebook might be going with that, in that route. You know what I mean?
So, right. Yeah. I think, you know, we've seen changes happening with reviews, and it feels like the jury's still out on how they can validate that the person leaving the review is a legitimate patient of the practice or just a patron of a business. There's ever since reviews became a thing for the medical industry, there's been wide concerns about the fact that these can't necessarily be representative of the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And reviews, by and large, are about the customer service experience that you're providing, not the clinical side of all the great work that you do. Mm-hmm. So while if it were fair and balanced, the patient would have high dental IQ and be able to tell you, oh, this is the best restoration I've ever had. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they're just going to be saying, you know, Sandy at the front desk is so nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's tough. I mean, as any medical profession, you're faced with having to be very customer service focused in addition to being clinically talented.
Yeah, you're right, because nobody really ever says, like, hey, number two looks two shades whiter than, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, clinical side so much as far as like you said, like the front office. It's about the experience more than anything, and people want to kind of hear about that too when you're a consumer. So now these next questions are just to get into the head of someone who isn't totally involved in the clinical side of dentistry. What would you like to see more from a dentist?
So I just went to the dentist yesterday and he's my client too, but it's nice to go because I talk teeth all day long. I'm super aware of my mouth and just, I feel like I know all the technology. And I think that, dentists have a hard time understanding why somebody doesn't see value in what they do. And there's such a fear associated with going to the dentist that it may be too much for your just a Joe Schmo off the street patient to be able to understand the level of care he needs to provide to his own mouth. And all the patients are good patients. That would be my frustration. I think that every person has the opportunity to learn good oral hygiene and be given guidance to help them care for their mouth. And whether or not they have two nickels to rub together, I still think that a patient who needs dentistry is always a good patient. So I think that's something that I face as a frustration from the client side, is like, oh, well, these aren't good patients. Well, do they have teeth? like there's a certain, I mean, not every patient has the dental IQ yet, but can we help them get there? Can we help them understand how their oral health is impacting their overall health and what a big role they play in that? And I feel like I know too much now, having been in the industry as long as I have, but I'm married to someone who has neglected to go to the dentist for a few years. And so every so often I ask him, you know, well, why don't you go? Or there's just a sense of judgment. He feels like, you know, when he goes, if there are things that need taken care of, that he doesn't want to be talked down to. So my recommendation is to just be human with your patients and to recognize that this is something that they have concerns about usually, and that you can help them be a patient with a higher dental IQ. You can help them get there. It's just, if healthcare was free in our world, then everybody would be going to the dentist. But since it's not, you have to work with the patient to make sure that they understand how the role they play in their own health.
I like that. Understanding that they don't have the dental IQ yet. And then, like, you're right.
You know, I mean, I've learned a lot in the last 4 years, and it had been a little while since I had been to the dentist. It was the first thing, like, I did when I started working here, was that I can't talk about teeth all day and not go have my teeth cleaned. So I think that I have been afforded the opportunity to learn a lot about how oral health impacts your overall health. And as a result of that, I feel like others, if given the opportunity, would learn in the same way that I have.
Okay. And then right now, what do you hate or dislike about dentistry?
That's a tough one.
It can be
I don't
marketing
like
or
filling.
Okay. Yeah, you're like, why? Why do you not like getting a filling?
If you ever have a bad experience with a dentist or have had some restorations that, you know, it didn't go as smoothly as you had hoped, that can give you nerves anytime you sit down in the chair for just let it be no cavities. Yeah. And then if you do have one, just knowing that that's something you're going to have to go through again, and just the concern of that. But
how,
I don't know.
But how
I think
can,
what
like,
I don't like about dentistry is that that dental insurance is elective and people aren't being left to make decisions about their health that are purely based on financial reasons when there is a very real need.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason. That's a good reason. If we rewind it a little bit, how can... Okay, so say, for example, you had a bad experience, right, with a dentist, and then you also are hoping for no cavities, right, no fillings. To you, what is the best way a dentist can tell you, hey, you got cavities?
So I think this is difficult because for an example, if you've gone to a dentist for a very long time and I've come in for a second visit, third visit, fourth visit, and it happens to be on the fourth visit that I have cavities that need addressed, I feel like you've been working together with that patient for a while and you're making them aware along the way of where the trouble spots might be. Mm-hmm. I think probably the biggest challenge is that brand new patient who comes in who you recognize has a lot of work that needs done. Because you haven't had a heck of a lot of opportunity yet to build the trust and make them feel like you're the right person to take care of this for them. So, I mean, I talk to my practices a lot about whether or not they have a consultation room or something separate and aside from the clinical room. I think that the operatory can be a little intimidating when it comes to maybe reviewing all of the things that need done. A presentation and language matter a lot. And I hope that when you do recognize that there's somebody who needs a higher level of care, that you address it in a way that doesn't make them feel, I guess, judged is the best word. So I think you need to position yourself in their corner and being able to show them, okay, here's what I'm noticing, showing them the photos and getting them on board with why you're recommending what you're recommending before you talk about any of the money aspect of it. That would help in developing the trust, but address what needs addressed immediately. Mm-hmm. Do it in a way that makes them understand that you're not just trying to get their dollars.
Gotcha. And then what do you love about dentistry?
I love the people. I've worked with a lot of people who have selected dentistry because of the lifestyle it allows them. A lot of the moms that are dentists that I work with, I can totally relate to as far as wanting to be able to be in the medical field but still have the flexibility to go see your kid's soccer game and not be on call necessarily. And so I've met a lot of really great people by working with dentists. I have some of them on my phone. I've texted them pictures of my kids. I think that I have definitely fallen into a field where there are just people who are giving and caring and want to help. And as a result, I'm very happy to be in this industry.
Gotcha. That's good. I like that. And then, what type of marketing stands out to you as a consumer?
So because I'm a marketer, I am in tune to all of the things that people are doing with my data when I give it to them. And by that, I mean, like, if I'm on social media and somebody nails it as far as all of my likes and my demographics, and they've positioned an ad to me that just makes me go, man, they got it. That's what I look for. So I would admit that I'm not your typical consumer, but I'm very intrigued by the way that people intelligently take the information they have about me and present an ad. So I'll give you an example because this one's one that made me laugh. When I was just graduating from marketing, I had seen an ad on Facebook that said, to back up a little bit, on Facebook, I had a marketing degree. I liked the movie Office Space. And if you're familiar with Office Space, one of the funny things in the movie is the red swing line stapler. So an ad appeared on my Facebook one day that said, tired of filling out your TPS reports, and it had the red swing line stapler, and it was a position with a company as a marketing person. So I was just so impressed that they had gotten me so well that they, even down to the fact that I liked the movie Office Space, that I was like, all right, I'm going to apply to this job, even though it's three states away from here, because they did such a good job positioning their ad to me. So I appreciate when somebody is not just doing like a blanket advertising, but can cater their message specifically to the audience they're trying to reach.
Yeah, it's more effective, right? It's a lot more effective that way. That's good. I appreciate that.
It's harder to execute in a mass way, but it's definitely, you know, when you think about direct mail and just blanking an entire audience, obviously you're limited in your ways that you can be targeted. But if you do decide to hone in, let's say, on moms who have kids in the house who are under this a certain age, then the message that you convey to them can be very tailored to the needs that they have.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. Did we leave anything else out, or?
Not that I can think of. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover?
No, if you would just want to let us know where we can find you at.
GoldenProportions.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook, and we have a Facebook group called Dental Marketing for Success, where you can pose any questions that you have. Nobody's going to sell you in that platform. We're just there to help. And I'm happy to connect with anybody on LinkedIn. If you want to look me up, it's Beth Sincotta, and Beth at goldenproportions.com. So happy to help or talk with anybody. If you do have any questions after today, I know I covered a lot.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today, Beth. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into that episode, episode 121. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. Helps me out a lot. Although, like I mentioned on here, we're talking about reviews, right? And, write something down, right? Like, I like that part where she wrote, and you guys hear me say something about it too, but I like it when someone doesn't just put, like, on Facebook or on Google, 5 stars, right? But they actually write something. That's what Facebook wants you guys to start doing too, as well. So that's an interesting thing. Another thing, let me see here on my notes. I like about the About Us page, right? How she says, you know what, it needs to be entertaining, it needs to be interactive, but it also needs to talk about like their perspective as well, not just your perspective on the clinical side. Always think about the user experience when creating the website, right? Because that's what it's all about. You want your website to provide information for the person, for your target market, right? So think about who your target market is. What are they searching for? Are they going to find that answer on your website? They should. So I like about that, and I also like about the reviews, right? Obviously we talked about reviews, and what interested me is that the data that let me see, where is that data? I gotta find that. Jeez. But she gave us some data, and if you look in the show notes below, you'll be able to find it as well. Sorry guys, I'm doing it on the fly here. How's everybody's day going? Good. Oh, what I found, the statistics that I think was insanely interesting to me, at least, was scrolling down. Sorry, 80% of patients will leave a review if the doctor asks them to. That's interesting, right? And I know what you're thinking. Don't be like, oh yeah, just ask them, because I know a lot of it. Even me, I face that issue sometimes where I'm like, should I ask them for a review? I don't know. You know what I mean? So you could, it does kind of sound like a little bit needy. So there is scripts for that, right? So download the thing below. Like, download it. It's just a script, right? And use it. Have your team use it. Another thing that the script is this. Like, how did we do today, right? And then they're going to be like, oh, you did great. Thank you, right? Thanks, Allie. We're so glad you're happy with your visit. After you leave today, you're going to receive a review request from our software. We would love it if you could share your experience online. That would be really good. Oh, guys, and by the way, if you're looking for a review software, Dr. Nathan Ho has created an amazing software called Envision Stars. And I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes below too. I am an affiliate with them, so I do receive a little bit chunk of change if you do decide to sign up. That's at no extra cost to you. Just wanted to put that out there, right? But at the same time, it's in a fantastic, fantastic software. And just check it out. Go ahead. I'll put the link in the show notes below. It's like a software, like, for example, did we do good? Cool. Yeah, awesome. And then they'll get a text message a couple minutes later, or right then and there, or whatever, right? And leave a review. But Dr. Nathan Ho kind of walks you through the whole process and holds your hand as well. So it's pretty cool. But anyways, I like that. I like how when you get a bad review, the first thing she wants you to do is just take a deep breath. Like, chill out a little bit, right? Like, take a deep breath and know that you can combat this. And she tells you how to combat it. So anyways, guys, don't forget to check out Local Med. Remember, go to the link below. They're the ones who sponsor us this episode. And they'll give you a special discount. So go ahead and click the link below and let them know that you heard about them from the Dental Marketer podcast. And also check out Envision Stars for the review software. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to follow me on all my social medias. That's Instagram is The Dental Marketer. Facebook is The Dental Marketer too as well. And go ahead and check out the website, thedentalmarketer.org. And thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.